I always like to take instruction. I'd like for you to open your New Testaments this morning to Luke, the second chapter. You can also use your tablet or smartphone or whatever else you're using to get God's Word in your lap. And while you're turning there, let me add my welcome to the one you've already received. We're glad you're all here, especially the visitors that we have with us today. We are delighted and encouraged by your presence with us this morning. And I can't help but wonder what the weather is going to bring to us today. Here in the Northwest, we love a white Christmas. I think we've been controlled by the media, you know. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. But we still like it. So, and speaking of Christmas, this is the time of year when, among all the other festive events that surround the holiday, there are a few people who still believe that this is, or tomorrow will be, the actual day of Jesus' birth. In fact, if you are on Facebook or Twitter or some other form of media, you'll see slogans like "Keep Christ in Christmas," or that he's the reason for the season. And while those are all catchy expressions, they're really not biblical. Listen, I believe, and I know most of us that are in this room believe, that Mary, who was a virgin, gave birth to the Son of God. We're just not told when that was. And we don't see in the Scriptures or in the history of the early church them celebrating his birth. In fact, there are some hints in the Bible about the time of year. In the text that we're going to read here in just a few moments, we read that shepherds were staying with their flocks in the fields at night. So temperatures had to be moderate for that to happen. That wouldn't have been something that happened in the wintertime. And also that Caesar Augustus had put out an order for a census, that all the world would be counted and taxed. And he's probably also not going to do that when travel to your home would have been difficult because of weather. He wouldn't have issued that order in the wintertime. So it's probably more accurate that Jesus was born in the springtime or late spring. But the bottom line is we don't know. But because the birth of Christ is on the minds of so many, I wanted to take a look at that this morning. So if you've got your Bibles open, let's read verses 8 through 15 of Luke chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior who has been born to you, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Now, that is a favorite text to read this time of year. I remember, and I don't know how many of you still watch it. I don't watch it anymore. But a Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus gets on the stage after Charlie Brown. "Will somebody please tell me the reason for Christmas?" He says, "I'll tell you." And he drags his blanket over into the middle of the stage, calls for lights, and he reads this, or quotes Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. On Jeff Horn's favorite app, YouVersion, which I also use daily, I checked, and there is 102 reading plans for Christmas on there. 102. And I'm sure a lot of them have this text. But there's a lot in this verse that has to do with the event that I think can really help us put it into perspective. And so I've entitled the lesson, Today in the City of David. I didn't take it, obviously, from the New International Version. But I like the way that that rolls off the tongue. Today in the City of David. So let's look at some specific declarative statements that we can find here in this account that Luke has given us. First of all, we're told when. And that is today. This day, the angel said. Not someday, not sooner or later, not wait and see if it's going to happen soon, not tomorrow, but today is when this event was taking place. We're told where it's going to take place, and that is in the city of David, which meant one thing to the shepherds, and you see that in the last verse that I read. They understood that the city of David meant Bethlehem. Lucky for them, they didn't have to Google the location. They knew where to go. We are told what, and the what is that there was a birth. Someone has been born. Someone has been born this day there. And he tells them what to look for. A baby. A newborn baby. Wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So you don't have to go looking for an adult. You don't have to go looking for a teenager. You don't have to go looking for a toddler. You're going to be looking for a newborn infant. And when he tells about the who, he actually tells us a couple of descriptors. First of all, he says a Savior has been born. And I'm pretty sure that what the shepherds interpreted that to mean was different from what God intended. From God's point of view, they are going to be saved from the thing that they needed to be saved from most. The shepherds probably had an idea that the danger that they were in and the predicament that they were in was the fact that Rome was ruling over them and was oppressing them. And so what we're looking for is a new king, someone who's going to save us from this. And of course, from our perspective, from this side of the cross, as we have just memorialized it just a few moments ago, we know that it means Savior in the sense that we have a Redeemer now who has paid the penalty for our sins and removed from us not only the guilt, but the punishment for those sins. He saved us. But the other thing the angel says is He's also Christ the Lord. And Christ is the Greek translation. Christus is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, that means the anointed one. And so this person is also going to be the anointed of God. He's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the Lord. And listen, they were waiting generations for this. These promises have been around for a long time, at least specifically in the house of David for 1,000 years. And now they're told, this day, today, no more waiting, the day has come, it's today. Now the interesting part about this, to me, is that this announcement, with all of its specificity and all of its clarity here, that news wasn't given to the Sanhedrin. It wasn't given to the leadership of the Jews. It wasn't declared in the palace of Herod, who was king over this part of the Roman Empire, and it certainly wasn't given to Caesar to be telling him the new king is coming, the Savior is coming. It was told to shepherds. And probably one of the lowest classes of laborers in the land. And these are not sheep barons here. These are not wealthy owners of flocks. Because if they were, or if we're talking, they would have servants out there watching their sheep at night. And maybe that's what these are. Maybe these are not their own sheep. Maybe they are servants. They're common, everyday folks. They're working the graveyard shift. Okay? They're at night watching the flock. And what that tells me is that this good news, this gospel, is for everybody. But it's shared with the ones, at least, first of all, that are going to be most amenable to it, most open to it, most receptive to it. They are not agnostic. They are not atheistic. They are not pagans. They are believers, and they understood, and they believe this message, and they're privileged to hear not only the angel speak, and I'm sure that they were terrified. I can't even imagine what that would be like beyond my face. I would have to be told, be not afraid, because that's what's going to happen. And then to be able to hear the hosts of heaven singing and praising God for this promise fulfilled of a Savior coming. As I was preparing the lesson, I was wondering if 30 years later, some of these shepherds were still alive and they start hearing about the work of Jesus, or if they were around 33 years later and saw Him crucified on the cross. If they knew who that person was. It's interesting who God decides He's going to tell first. Listen, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the first people to know about it were women. Another, in that culture, a subclass. Not even their testimony in court isn't even acceptable. But listen, this is God's story, and He's writing it. We're not. So you may be asking, oh, what's the upshot, Dan? And listen, even if you're not asking that question, I'm going to tell you anyway. Sometimes I can't depend on any of you to ask the right question while I'm preaching. So let's step back and notice what we see around us this time of year. Listen, one of the things that I grew up doing when I was a child, and I did it with my kids, is that we would go out either Christmas Eve or sometime before that, and we would go out and we'd drive around and see the lights on people's houses. I told you 2 weeks ago, Sunrise Drive off of Perry. It's a good one. But what I see when I drive around often is manger and nativity scenes. There are two or three of them in my neighborhood. And we're a pretty good neighborhood. People put lights on their houses. When you listen to songs on the radio, you're going to hear songs like Away in the Manger. You're going to hear Silent Night, which when we were in Germany, we found out they only sing Silent Night in Germany on this day. Only on the 24th. All the focus of this day is on baby Jesus, on this birth. And listen, all of us in this congregation especially, we know how cute babies are. We have been really blessed with a lot of babies in the last couple of years born in our family here. And we cannot wait to see them. We cannot wait to hold them. Because babies are cute. They are cuddly. They are adorable. And so the attraction to a baby is understandable and natural. And the other thing about babies is, listen, babies need us. Babies are helpless. They are dependent on other people for survival. They can't talk. They can't walk. They can't dress themselves or feed themselves. Basically, what's about a baby is intake and outgo. And you'll probably get that later today. That's pretty much it. But they're still cute. We still love them. And listen, baby Jesus was exactly as any other infant, helpless, dependent on his parents. In fact, the Bible gives us scant information about not only the infancy of Jesus, but his childhood. In fact, if you're still in Luke, the second chapter there, if you go over to the end, last two verses of this chapter, it says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature," which means he got big, "and in favor with God and man." He grew up. Listen, if you can understand what I'm saying here, and there's some in this room that are not, they're not listening, and the reason they're not listening is because they're tiny. They're little. But if you're listening to me and understanding, I can tell you what happened in your life. You grew up. You became a mature person. All of us have had birthdays this year. And I wrote that in my notes and I thought, you know, I better check on that. And I originally had Amanda Axman. She hadn't had her birthday yet. But she had it yesterday, so I can still say that about her. As far as I know, and if I'm wrong, correct me or tell Tim because he's got the directory wrong. Emma Bueller is the only one that hadn't had a birthday yet. And it's coming the 29th. And see, she's not even listening to me because guess what? She hadn't grown up yet. So we all have had birthdays this year. Mine, and I'll use myself because I always like to remind you when my birthday is in case you still need to get a present. And I'm still accepting, by the way, because it's only been 2 weeks. You know, you're still within that window. 2 weeks ago, I had my birthday. And we didn't get out any of my baby photos. We didn't get him out and say, oh, how cute he is. And I just set up a little thing about the hospital, you know, in Richland where I was born. And so this is where Dan was born. Let's think about that. How many of you, and if you don't want to answer, don't put your hand up. In fact, don't anybody put your hand up. Just think about it. How many of you got your baby photos out when you had your birthday this year? How many of you even thought about it? And I know some, like Bob, they didn't have cameras then. So, you know, maybe he has an etching of a baby. But anyways, the reason is because we've grown up. And what we are now is who we are. What we were then was a helpless, cute, cuddly baby in coming out, and that was it. There was that, you know, cute, but nothing about us. But now it is. Now we're grown up, so we think about who we are now because we've become somebody. We're doing something. We have a job and responsibilities. And listen, what happened with Jesus is he became a man. He grew in stature and favor with God. And that's who Jesus Christ is. For one reason or another, the world wants to keep Jesus in the manger. Well, they even have the wise men visiting him there. I had a hard time finding a graphic that didn't have magi or kings at the manger. But again, if you go over to Matthew, the second chapter in verse 11, it says that they visited him in the house. Not, they didn't come to where he was born that night. But, so why? Why do we want to keep him there? I've got just some ideas here. Babies are cuter than crucified saviors. Who would want to see? I wouldn't. I would not want to see somebody who was crucified. I don't see anybody endure capital punishment of any kind. But I don't want to see one that was specifically designed to be torturous. A baby needs us. But we need a Savior. And I don't want to have to, the world doesn't want to have to think about the fact that they need some Savior. Don't want to be reminded of that. A baby makes demands, but the demands are simple. Even when my kids started growing up, and my girls started growing up, and I don't know if Nathaniel did this or not, but Barbie lost her head every once in a while. And so, fix it, Daddy. I can do that. I can put a Barbie head back on. By the way, if you have one lying around, I can still do that. But as kids get older, their problems get bigger. And when we have the demands that Jesus has for us as an adult, they're a lot more critical, important, serious than just what a baby would make. a baby can't speak. There's no words coming out of the manger. There's no commands. There's no instruction. No consequences that are talked about. No encouragement or anything else. And yet a grown-up Jesus says a lot of things. He has a lot of message about Him. And they demand a response. They demand obedience on our part. A baby is not an example. But a grown-up Jesus, we can see what an amazing life that was. And when we compare it to ours, we see, oh wow, mine's not like that. Of course, a lot of these thoughts I was thinking about today, the 350, don't get your songbooks out. But I was thinking as we were singing, Jesus, Hold My Hand, there's nothing more precious and so heartwarming as when you touch a baby hand and they grab your little hand, you grab your little finger with their hand and hold on to it, and you just say, oh, I love that. Jesus, Hold My Hand. A baby's not going to protect me. A baby isn't going to be something I need to guide me day and night. In fact, if I had a baby and I'm depending on it for guidance day and night, you're going to put me to a place where I won't get hurt. Because I'm not thinking correctly. Babies are sinless. So pure. Grown-up Jesus was sinless too. In fact, that was necessary for Him to be able to die and pay for our sins. We, on the other hand, are not sinless. We are sinful, and we don't want that reminder. And finally, a baby's no threat. No need to fear them. No need to fear them either in the sense of respect them or fear them in the sense of terror. It's just they're babies. But Jesus, the grown-up Jesus, is going to one day come back, and He's going to come back as judge. Based on what He told us and taught us and did for us, while He was grown. With babies, we're in charge. But the grown-up Jesus is Savior and Lord. So it's not surprising that the world wants to keep Him in the manger. But He's not there. He's at the right hand of God right now, as our King and as our Savior. So I want you just to think about that. The birth of Jesus, Jesus in the manger, the shepherds present soon after His birth, the angels praising God in the highest with the promise. Listen, that is an amazing story. It's a wonderful story. It's an important part of the story of Jesus Christ. But it's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not the total story. And while it's just part, I don't want to undermine the fact that it's very important. But as the angel said, He is Christ the Lord. He is also the Savior, and He's bringing peace. And the peace that He's bringing, though, is not physical. It's not a peace between nations. It's not going to be a world where there's no war. That's not the peace that Jesus was bringing or was going to bring. It's peace between you and me and God. That we were opposed to Him. We were battling against Him. In our sins, we were separated from Him. And Jesus came to die for us so that sin could be removed and so we could have a relationship with Him again, that we could be saved, be His children, and there would be peace between us. And that peace that the angel spoke about there in Luke, the second chapter, was made possible by the rest of His life. A sinless life. And His substitutionary suffering and death for us on the cross in our place. We've been studying the history of songs and the meaning of songs in our songbook. And again, I want you to listen. You're going to have plenty of time to see this song in just a moment because it's also going to be our invitation song. But we spent 2 weeks looking at the songs written by Fanny J. Crosby. And I will tell you that I think that this would be a really good song for this season of the year when people are thinking about Jesus. In fact, it's a good song for every season, for every day. But I want you to listen to the verses and listen to the rest of his life. I'm not going to give the refrain. I'm just going to read through the verses. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings on earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. That is the precious story of Jesus. That's the whole story. And we've got to have the whole story so we have the whole person. So we have it in perspective to ourselves and our needs. And it's going to be that story until one day when that Savior and Lord and King returns from heaven, but this time returns as judge. I could not be happier than the fact that at least once or twice a year, the thought of Jesus passes through people's hearts and minds. That they think about Him. But I want them to think the whole story. Not just a little baby in a manger. We need to let it have an impact in our lives. And we need to have that impact in our lives this day. In the city of Bremerton. Because there was a Savior born. And He grew up. And He lived a sinless life and He died for our sins. And now He is at the right hand of God, longing for us to accept Him, believe in Him, and obey Him. If there's some part of the story that you don't understand or that you want to know information about, please let us know. We'd love to share the whole story with you. But if you know the story and you believe it, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then act on it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism and mimic His death, burial, and resurrection, and come out of that water a brand new creature, a member of God's family, and you can be born today, born again today. So we're going to sing Song 622, and if there's some way in which we can help you, please come forward while we stand and sing. Yeah.